Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do. Like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, joined tonight first by Mark Immelman. Mark, hello.
How's it, boys? Shake up atop the world's rankings. Yeah, to me, it feels like with all this mayhem and all this upheaval in the world of golf, everything seems to be settling down and the earth is back and it's tilted a bit better now, don't you think?
Rory McIlroy back to being number one in the world. All is right. Greg Ducharme is here. Hi, Gregors.
What's going on, boys? I think that's really well said, Mark. Things for the past couple of weeks have seemed to settle down a little bit. And this was, you know, a little icing on the cake, if you will. Really, really happy for Rory. So it's a great day in the game of golf.
Finally rounding out our crew for this evening. I think we've got him here. Kyle Porter, KP. Hey, bud. You're 7 minutes earlier than you said you were going to be.
Oh, great. That's the first time that I've actually done that. So
we started without you, and then I saw you were here, and I was like, okay, let's bring him right in.
There we go. It's over, what's the phrase?
You over promise, under deliver?
Under promise, over deliver. I usually over promise and under deliver, so I flipped it around this week.
So good. All right, let me hit this promo real quick. First Cut merch, 20% off for the rest of the year. I've told you, we've got etched glasses, we've got hats, we've got polos, we've got sweatshirts, we've got t-shirts, we've got stickers, we've got anything you could possibly imagine, and it's 20% off for the rest of the year. Maybe they're clearing out inventory for new stuff next year. I don't know. I'm not in charge of the merch. I know you just click the link in the description. You go and you put in the code FIRSTCUT20. If you're watching on YouTube, you can scan the QR code, get 20% off, stock up, get everything before it's sold out. All right, gents, CJ Cup. Whew. Hoochie mama, Rory McIlroy. Three straight 67s to close out another successful title defense. Mark, let's just start there. Rory seems to have a knack for saying, this is my title. I'm not going to give it up so easy.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? I mean, to come back in his first start on the PGA Tour after the FedEx Cup, and obviously he'd played abroad a little bit, but he just looked rested. And you listened to some of his comments early in the week, and it seemed like everything was just in order. But the truth of it is, to me, Rick, and it's almost from this time last year when you and I were in Vegas together, when there was just a little something about him, and it looked like to me he was gaining some traction with what he had been doing. And it's just been a steady build. And he showed up here this week and really never looked flustered. Even from round one when he shot 5 under, I think it was, and really was a canter. There was nothing really too much going on. It looked like everything was in good working order, physically, mentally, the whole thing. And it was really, I hate to say easy looking, but in a certain way, easy looking. Look, he did weather the storm a little bit today, but you have to do that to win. He made some good putts to start to sort of keep himself in there. And then when he just decided he was going to drop the hammer, he did. And that was around a stretch of holes too, for the record, which are really not that easy. And he just has got that gear. And it looks to me like he's found a way to find that gear a little more often than what he was in the past few years.
That hammer that he dropped, birdies on 12, 14, 15, and 16. Greg, it was two bogeys on 17 and 18, but by the time that dust had settled, he had given himself enough of a cushion.
Yes. And look, that was really, I think, a really important stretch for him, because there was a key moment at 8 where he three-putted. He missed about a four-footer. And I've seen Rory in the past, that a moment like that has sent him sideways before, where he'll miss a short putt early in the round. I mean, that's more the middle of the round, but he's done that before, where on the front nine, he's missed a putt like that and it sent his round in a, you know, not a great direction. And this time he was able to settle right down and then get hot again towards the end. So I think that's a sign, another sign. I mean, how many signs have we needed from his game? But a really important sign that his game is in great shape. And that's kind of the emotional maturity of a Rory McIlroy now with his game, where he can handle situations that are thrown to him because he's developed so much trust in every area of his game. Not just what he does off the tee, which was probably the highlight this week, but you just look at where he gained strokes this week. And I mean, it's through the bag. It's consistent. It's steady. And this week, while it was great, it was not unique.
Yeah, drove it very well, gained nearly 6 strokes off the tee, best in the field. KP, it's his 23rd career PGA Tour victory, and he said afterwards, quote, "I'm enjoying the game as much as I ever have. If I could play like Rory, I would also be enjoying the game." But he's talking more about everything else that's been going on in the world of golf for the last 18 months.
Yeah, It did seem like it, right? And I guess it's probably easy for it to seem that way when you're winning everything you look at. I mean, I wrote this down, his last 15 starts worldwide, 2nd, 5th, 8th, T18, 1st, T5, T19, 3rd, missed cut. I think that was St. Jude. T8, 1st, yep. T2, 4th, 4th, 1st. I mean, he's got 12 or 10 top fives in his last 15 starts. So, you know, I think those things kind of feed one another, right? When you're playing, tremendous golf, it's a lot of fun. And when you're having fun, it's easier to play that, you know, caliber of golf for top players in the world. It seems like he's just in a good place mentally, physically, just seems very locked into just golf, which is, I think, a little bit ironic considering that this year has been about everything but golf. And I think it speaks to the thing we've always talked about with him, where it's like, he's probably more extrinsically motivated than from within. And that's not a knock. I mean, there's so many guys in other sports that have used, I mean, Aaron Rodgers does this, Michael Jordan did it, where they use stuff it's different. Those guys use like slights or like things that were said about them or whatever. And his is more, I think, like noble, like he's like writing for the sport of golf or whatever, but he's definitely, I think, extrinsically motivated. And we've seen over the last year, from the Ryder Cup to the LIV stuff to everything else in between, I think it brings out the very best golf in him, which is obviously a ton of fun to see.
You're so right, Kyle, because there's no way that there's no doubt that necessity is the mother of invention. And with all the stuff going on outside of the ropes, I feel like it has galvanized the intention and the focus a little bit. But along those lines, too, you know, with someone, because look, these guys are all talented, but then you get this handful of virtuosos. They're kind of generational. And there's no doubt he is, if you look at the record and what he's achieved. And these folks, they see certain shots. And if they don't pull that stuff off, then they don't really have the understanding as to how and go about do it some other way or do it the easier way. They still go about doing things. And the one thing that was struck to me was you could almost set your wristwatch on a draw shot out of him off the tee. But when he was under the gun today, he went to a fade shot off the tee on a number of holes and it only misfired really once. And that was down there on 11. On 16 or 17, I should say, when he missed, the ball was over faded. So to me, that sort of speaks to a whole lot of belief in where the golf swing is too. And when you're there and you're hitting shots like you want, then you can go ahead and play Rory McIlroy style of game. And if this continues, because it looks to me like he's hitting putts too, right on his number, because the one thing about Rory, and he's the one guy that's always quoted this, and it's always caught my ear, where he will talk about really fast greens, that sometimes the ball skids quickly off the blade. And so kind of skids through the line you see, and he misses a number of putts on the high edge. But it looks to me like everything's coming out on a line too. So this is the Rory to me, with that little fade at disposal, the draws there in the pockets, and the putts are going in. This is the guy that starts winning events by 4 and 5 and 6 when he gets to golf courses he's really comfortable on. So I'm with you. I think the focus is in tune right now, and he knows what he's got to do.
Yeah, he was hitting that. Sorry, Rick. He was hitting that low kind of cutting drive off the tee, which was really interesting, you know, for him to kind of he doesn't shape it as much. He probably could, but he doesn't shape it as much as some other guys like JT or Sergio or whatever. I don't have this number in front of me, Rick. Maybe you can grab it real quick, but I think he deserves a lot of credit. And because we've been critical of this in the past, I think he deserves a lot of credit for his play from like, what, 100 to 175 over the last 9 months, 12 months. It's been, I don't know if it's been elite. Maybe it has. But it's been a lot better. And that was where what we kind of pointed at, you know, he, I think a little bit like DJ has become kind of an underrated putter. Like he's a good putter. And I think he gets this weird, maybe social media misnomer of like, oh, I can't, you know, can't putt. It's like, no, he's a really good putter. And his short game is really, really solid, you know, kind of like a, I don't know if it's as special is like a Rom. Rom's got unbelievable hands. He's got some really interesting shots around the greens, but I think Rory doesn't deserve enough credit. Obviously everybody loves the 380 yard drives, but some of that other stuff that he's not really known for, I think he deserves a lot of credit for, especially improving that wedge 9-iron play from those yardages.
This is from last season. Obviously this was his first start, so we don't have those stats registered yet, but from 50 to 125, which is one of the larger buckets the PGA Tour has, he was 22nd. From 100 to 125, he was 19th. From 125 to 150, he was 5th. So yeah, you kind of put all those together and he's basically top 25, basically anywhere from call it 50 to 150 yards.
Yeah. And I think the year before it was, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but that was not what they were. You have them right there, Rick.
Yeah. I'll just change the season. It was like Wells Fargo last year. He flipped a switch. So the previous season, he was same categories, 130th, 141st. He was still pretty good from 100 to 125. He was second, but kind of closer than that, he was really struggling.
Yeah.
And to that, it's not just the numbers, Rick, because the numbers just give you where the ball ended. I've had the luxury of watching it happen often, and the ball's getting there differently. It's they're high, they're low. He's varying clubs a whole lot more. And to me, you know, it finally happened where I hadn't seen him, and I'd call him a few times here coming down the stretch in the playoffs and in Canada for the RBC Heritage. RBC Canadian Open, forgive me. And the final hole today, he's sort of right on that number where for Rory from about 150, it's a comfy gap wedge or comfy pitching wedge or really flushed gap wedge. And you could see that he picked the shorter of the two clubs and just went full bore. I have not seen him do that in a while. And you could see how the distance control waned. Now, I can understand there maybe he's just scared of being jacked up, adrenalized, and bashing the thing through the back. But everything to those numbers you're referencing, the balls flighted differently. They moved in two directions. It's a whole lot more creative and versatile.
23 wins, Greg, and 221 career PGA Tour starts. This one gets him back to the number one player in the world. Move over Scotty Scheffler. Scotty drops to number two. Rory's name atop the official World Golf rankings for the ninth time in his career.
It's an amazing number. To reach that mountaintop nine times. I'm sure he would like to hang on to it a little bit longer this time, but I really think he has that ability. I mean, when you think back to before the COVID lockdown, what he did in 2019, he's player of the year. He starts off 2020 where every event was a top five. And you know, he's snake bitten. He can't win, but he's finishing top five every week. And then COVID hits, and it hits him pretty hard. It, you know, it, not the disease, but it, you know, it hits him the virus.
Are you breaking news on here, Greg?
Pretty hard. I'm sorry for that. And all of a sudden, he kind of loses some things. He referenced that he went down a path of distance, and you know, his coach Michael Bannon couldn't get over here. He couldn't work with his coach. He goes with Pete Cowan for a little while and has his struggles. And it seems like now he's had about a year. It was the CJ Cup. He had announced this before the CJ Cup last year. So about a year now, he's been back with his coach, Michael Bannon, and the results have come back very quickly. And I think that's a really important aspect to consider, because this is the guy that he was with when, you know, each of the other eight times when he reaches world number one. So I think that's an important caveat here. And I also think it really will speak to the longevity of this, of Rory's ability to stay atop the world rankings. I think he's going to be really hard to pass because he's got things kind of where they should be now. And this is a very good Rory, but it's not far from a baseline Rory, which is kind of amazing.
I'm looking at the Rory McIlroy history as number one player in the world. Greg mentioned this. The last time he was number one was like February 2020. Any guesses on how long he was the number one player in the world that time, the eighth time?
11 weeks.
Yeah, it was exactly 11 weeks. Did you look that up?
Yeah, I memorized. No, I just wrote an article about him returning to number one. So I think I could go in order.
Hold on. Okay, we'll do that. But it was kind of a trick question because it was 11 weeks, but it was really like 5 months because when they shut down the rankings, right, for like those 91 days or whatever, they shut down those rankings. Okay, so that was the eighth time Rory McIlroy was number one player in the world. The seventh time, KP.
Well, let me go from the top, starting in 2012.
Oh, you want to go from there? Okay, I got to flip my thing around. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, 2 weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks.
Yes.
3 weeks.
Yes.
It gets a little dicey after that. Like 39?
32. For a total of 39.
Okay. And then like 54.
Yeah, that's the big boy. So 54 weeks for a total of 93. That was from August of 2014 to August 2015.
Okay, and then like 1-1, 11-1 or something?
Yeah, he plays hot potato with Jordan Spieth back and forth 1 week at a time in August and September of 2015. So one as the sixth time, one as the seventh time. Then we just got the eighth time that we talked about, which was 11, and now we are at the ninth. Good job, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you.
The difference now, you give the numbers, I'm sort of want to give the why a little bit. In my opinion, he's just different around the greens. And you saw some of that this week on fast, just difficult greens to putt at that speed. If you aren't sure of what you're doing, he showed it off there. And then around the greens, that grass they've got around that place is so tight that if you want to hit little nipping wedges and stuff off there, you have to be awfully precise. And when you're under the gun some, it's really easy to drop kick one and kind of not spin it because you don't want to skin a ball over the back of the green. And so to me now, he's got all these ball striking skills, which, you know, it's largely been the signature of his career, the chef's kiss, if you will. But now the guy is downright good around the greens. And I wouldn't say rivals Jordan Spieth, but he can hang in there. I mean, he had a bunker shot on 15 today.
That was awesome. Sweet.
I mean, that was sexy. And then that putt he made on 14 before that. This, when he did that stuff, I'm like, okay, this is one-way traffic. Because ordinarily that hasn't happened in the past.
And that's what he did like back in 2012 when he was winning at Kiowa. And I remember this as a fan because I was hoping that somebody would make it close so we'd have a tournament to watch. And Rory just kept getting up and down from everywhere. He's making his 4-6 footers. He's missing greens, has those tight lies, similar to what a different grass, of course, but just like what you're talking about, Mark, and he's nipping them to 4 feet. He's hitting bunker shots from, you know, 30 yard long bunker shots with force care, and he's hitting him to 6 feet. And it was like he was unbreakable, invincible. And you kind of feel that now again, which hasn't happened in a while.
Okay, I want to talk to you as a golf instructor because you work with tournament caliber golfers, right? And the hottest seat to be on is the golf instructor to the PGA Tour player. And you all sort of know where your player's strengths and weaknesses are, and there's certain shots when you're walking the rope and you're like, no stress. You can sort of turn away and talk to whoever. And then there's certain shots you're hanging on everyone. And after he 3-whacks 8 and then misses that simple-ish look on 9, when he had 4 feet coming down the hill right to left on 10, I was actually nervous. And I was like, oh, goodness, it could come unravel right here. And when that thing went in the heart, then you kind of knew, okay, it's plain sailing from here.
Yeah, it was a big moment. I completely agree, Mark.
I love it when Mark says one-way traffic. That's my favorite of his.
Mine is knee-high to a grasshopper. Or it's a two-way tie with knee-high to a grasshopper, and landed like a butterfly with sore feet.
That's radio from way back in the day.
So
I got them all cataloged.
To throw numbers on Mark's point, 2022 was Rory's best putting season ever. Or 2021, 2022, best putting season, and his best season around the greens. So, you know, I wonder if we don't look back on 21, 22 and think like he should have gotten more out of it in terms of wins. That's, I don't know. I think that's probably fair for somebody like Rory that is graded on a different scale than everybody else, right? But it's hard. I mean, he's finished the top 5 in ten of his last 15 events. It's hard to be critical of somebody like that, but I do wonder if we don't look back. I think if he wins the Open, then you're like, okay, yeah, like that, like the whole thing makes sense.
Completely agree.
If he wins the PGA or whatever, I just wonder if we don't look back and think, man, could have gotten like a major or something big out of that.
I'll say this, and I'm not being a Rory homer, and this is to your observation there, okay? I feel like this wraparound season has been kind of a watershed because in a funny way, he's learned to play small ball a little bit. You know, young Rory, when he came out, it was big high draws, just one directional, hitting it hard, hitting full-blooded irons, and then just when he's on, he just waxes the field. This year, he looks like he's almost become more like Tiger, and that he'll gear down off a tee, or he'll flatten iron, or he'll sort of guts out that day when he doesn't have it and still post 70 or 69 or 71 and keep himself in it. So this year, in as much as Kyle, you're right, he should have maybe should have won more. I feel like this has been a turnaround, and it sets up for, you know, a run of I don't know how long. Hopefully he stays injury free of some really good golf, because he has the I'm at full flight, the thoroughbred thing going on, and he can also just grind out a win, you know, and we've seen him do that some too.
The days, well, go ahead
real quick. I just want to, are we moving on from Roy? I want to say one.
Yeah,
one
more thing. Go ahead, put a bow on
Roy. Okay, so the last thing is just the world number one thing. It's, you know, I was looking at the world number one list, obviously, Rick, and
you think,
you know, you have all these guys that you got Martin Keimer and Lee Westwood and Luke Donald and even Spieth and JT and Scheffler and DJ. And they have these little chunks where they're number one. It'll be Brooks Koepka's in this. It'll be a 3-year chunk or a 4-year, or four is actually a really long one. A 2-year. Usually it's like 2 or 3. David Duval was like a year, and the longest were Faldo and Dustin Johnson, were both 3.5 years. You have three guys that have had like sustained number one, like they've had long gaps between when they were first number one and when they were last number one. Those three guys are Tiger, who was first number one in 97. He was last number one in 2014. So that's 17 years, which is absurd, right? You have Greg Norman, who was first number one in, I think, 1986, and then last number one in, I think, 1998. It was like 11.5 years, which is again, I think it's really hard to sort of contextualize how difficult it is for guys to be number one. At any point, right? You're the best player in the world, but to do it over a long period of time, whether that's 6 years or 10 years or whatever. And now Rory, who was first number one in 2012, returns 10 and a half years later. So it's those three guys that are just kind of stand out above everybody else in the OWGR era, which started in whatever, 1985. And I think that it's one of the more underrated aspects about Rory's career is that he's been in the top 15 in the world for whatever, 13 straight years. He's been number one 10 years apart. I mean, it's really difficult to do. And he's done it really impressively for a long time.
Rory McIlroy, the day started shaping up to be a duel with John Rahm, Greg. And it ended with Rory basically unable to shake Kurt Kitayama. So Kurt Kitayama goes out and shoots a 67, 4 under to finish one shot behind Rory. And we've seen this now a couple of times from Kurt, right? He had the really good finish in Mexico, another good one at the Scottish Open, the Honda Classic. Now here, his name is getting much more prevalent at the top of some of these leaderboards.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate if you're in the DFS community because he's getting more and more recognition. But this is one of those guys that's a little difficult to predict when and where he's going to play well. And the reason is, well, he can anywhere. He can play well anywhere, and it's just a matter of when will he. And so that's what makes it kind of difficult to predict. But I watch him play, and he's got all the tools. He's got all the firepower that it takes. He was fourth in driving distance this week. Regardless whether you look at it with the two drives or all drives, he was fourth in both of those categories. He gained over 3 strokes approaching the green, and he had a great putting week too. So I really like what he's done with the ball striking this year, and he's starting to get more and more comfortable being up on top of the leaderboards. And he's one of those guys you kind of look to every week, and you just keep playing him, and you're going to expect that every once in a while he's going to pop up. But he's becoming more than what I always call a popper. He's starting to get more regular up there. Even more regular than Sepp Straka was before this past year. I think they're kind of similar in a lot of ways. So yeah, I like what I see out of Kitayama.
Yeah, I think for what it's worth, I think what you call there where it's hard to predict is a pretty good call, but I will say this, in Mexico, Rick, that you referenced, we were down there and I had him on the call in the final round. And his technique is sort of old school in a way where the club face is quite open at the top and he's got some hand action through the ball that kind of keeps the modern day Twitter golf instructor awake at nights, I'm sure, because they don't like that stuff. But the one thing you can't measure is what's inside of his heart, because that boy is like 5 foot, not very much. He's diminutive. He hits it a mile. And every shot when I was calling him that day that he had to hit, it's like he found this gear and he got up for it. Because I was waiting for him alongside Rahm, for Rahm just to impose his like big Spanish will a little bit. And this boy with crosswinds and the golf ball that was coming out late right on Saturday was going to sort of capitulate some. Never did. And it sort of spoke to me about who he is inside. And today to go bogey free, final group, alongside Rory, that tells you something about what he's got inside of his head and his heart. And so I'm expecting that the more he's put himself in this place, the more he'll start to believe that, look, I really belong here. Maybe his one will come soon.
5'7 is what he's listed at on the PGA Tour's website, 170 pounds. KP, they threw up a graphic at one point today, and I think it describes Kurt Kitayama as one of like the greatest journeymen that we've had in golf in the last 5 years. He's made starts on 10 different tours. 10? Some people don't even know that 10 different tours exist. They do. 10 different tours since 2016. He's the only golfer to have done that. And now really making inroads here on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, but was one of those the MENA Tour or no?
No, that's unfortunately not. No, there's still time for that, though, I think.
He did play twice in South Africa, so.
Was that Sunshine?
Yeah.
Okay. I did see that. How old? I was actually just looking this up. How old is Kurt Kitayama?
How old do you think he is? I have it.
29.
Yeah.
I memorized it.
Can you be a journeyman at 29?
If you make 10, if you make a start on 10 different tours in 5 years, I think, yes, you can be.
He had a weird year, and, you know, Greg was kind of talking about this with like him popping, because he'll go like Honda Classic, finished third, does nothing. Mexico Open, until the Mexico Open, T2, does nothing until the Scottish Open, second, does very little until this week, and finishes, you know, in the top five. So, that's what you know, we talk about this all the time. If you're trying to have a professional career, there are a lot worse ways to sort of go about it. That's a good thing, to miss a bunch of cuts and then contend, and miss a bunch of cuts and contend. So yeah, it was fun to see him. It was fun to see both of those guys, him and KH Lee, both kind of in the mix alongside Rory and Rom. And it was I thought it was, for me, a fun leaderboard on a good golf course, and you know, in what was probably the tournament of the fall, at least to date, and probably will go down as the best event of the fall 2022.
John Rahm got off to a hot start, 3 under through five, gave one back on six, made a birdie on 12, made a bogey on 14. Mark, it was, we were kind of gearing up for this big Rahm versus Rory McIlroy duel, and Rahm just didn't get the breaks, couldn't get the momentum going, at least for his final 12 holes or so.
Yeah, it did. It was a little curious, because he got off to that quick start, and he's the kind of guy that when he gets rolling, he really sort of builds on that. What struck me the most, and this is results free, was when he got some bad breaks. There was one stage this year out there with John Rahm on the golf course where if he got a bad break, we'd take cover, because the guy was hot around the collar and the temperature was continually rising. But he looked sort of strangely at peace with stuff that was happening too. And I found that interesting. And then I just thought he was kind of the victim of one or two poor breaks. And the one thing, that ball plugging in the lip of the bunker on whatever that hole was, 12 maybe, or I can't remember which one it was. But that is so unlikely around that golf course. When we were there for Congaree last year, because they flash those bunker edges, and the whole golf course is built on like firm sand. And so for a ball to plug in the face of that thing is next to impossible. And I'm sure when he got there, he was like, are you serious? But Rahm earlier this year would have seriously shown, you know, a bunch of aggravation, but he just kept on cruising. And just to me, sort of was not really as sharp as he could have been on the greens, and what it's going to take to win. But look, he still looks good. If that's John Rahm, not at his very best, and he's contending for titles, look out. I think the future is still very bright for someone who is the complete game.
That plugged lie came on 14, the par three. He'd end up making a bogey there. Greg, I'm a big buyer of John Rahm this year. Like, I think he's going to just have a massive year. I thought maybe he comes out and gets a win kind of immediately out of the gate at this event, but I just cannot wait to see what he does in, I guess it's going to be 2023.
I'm right there with you, Rick. I know you're not really going out on a limb too much saying that, but there is something, and Mark alludes to this. I think his statistics allude to this, but there's something about him towards the end of last season that calmed down, where early in the year it was, you know, it was explosive. The putting contest comment, and it felt like watching him, like the weight of the game of golf was just weighing on him, and it was really heavy. Right. Everybody's questioning his putting and his short game, and he's defending all of this stuff, and, you know, and he's getting frustrated by it. And you could see that on the golf course as well. So to hear Mark's point, I think it's really valuable that he's calmed down. You also look at what he's done on the greens. The putter dried up over this weekend. But really, the last three events leading into this, he gained over 7 strokes in 2 of them. Albeit they're not on the PGA Tour, but over 5.5 and 3 in a row. And he gained strokes again putting this week. Again, the weekend wasn't great, but I think it's a really positive sign for him going forward. And there's a lot to learn from this week. And he was right there and had himself in contention. And I love where he's heading as well.
I will say this, Greg. final round of the Tour Championship this year for PGA Tour Live, I had him and I think it might have been Colin Morikawa. And so on the range, I'm there before the time and he's sort of lighthearted, just hitting some balls, chit-chatting. His coach there, Dave Phillips, who he and I sort of came up together as young golf instructors on the tour. And so we're chatting. And so I said to him, so what's your schedule? And he talked about, you know, the lots of golf he's got left. And then he gave his opinions on this new schedule too, which is an aside. But anyhow, he spoke so fondly of the Spanish Open and how he was looking forward to going back there playing. And then I think getting that win over there, I mean, it was like an event that he had circled on his calendar. And getting the win there, I feel like maybe it was that like, okay, everything's going to be okay with my year. Now the rest of it is just sort of freewheeling some.
I think the thing that's encouraging too is, you know, he at the start of this year, Rick, we talked about this, he was so good. I mean, he wasn't putting, so he wasn't winning, but everything else was just awesome, right? He was as dialed in, and this is saying something because it's Jon Rahm, he was as dialed in as he's ever been. And then as the season progressed, it got a, especially with his approach, like his iron play, it just got a lot looser. It wasn't what we saw at the beginning of the year. And I think what's encouraging about this week, you know, he's played really well recently, wins the Spanish Open, bunch of top fives over the last 2 months. But it was a lot of like, okay, had a great putting week, still not hitting it like he was at the beginning of the year. This week was more of a return. I think he was second from tee to green. He didn't hit his irons quite as good as you would like to see. But I thought, you know, especially the 62 was pretty awesome, but it seemed like more of a, okay, this is how Jon Rahm plays, which is just lights out, tee to green, puts it pretty well, and he's going to contend to win golf tournaments. So for me, it was the finish, yes, but it was also kind of the way he went about doing it that makes me optimistic about the next, you know, however many starts he has the rest of this year and going into 2023.
You know, he's been kind of thrown around, his name's been thrown in there as the best driver of the ball in the game. And I long agreed with this. And part of that reason, you look at these numbers and heading into this season, he had only lost strokes off the tee in five events in his career. It goes back to 2016.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
That's absurd.
But this year, since the Memorial, which was in June, he lost strokes off the tee in three events between the Memorial and the Tour Championship. So I do think something in that stretch happened, and the iron play was a little looser, like you said, Kyle, in that stretch. But that's an anomaly. That is not a common thing, as we just pointed out.
Yeah, and with him, as with all these top guys, you're comparing him to himself, right? It was
right.
His iron play was worse in the middle of the year, but it was still pretty good, right? Compared to everybody else in the world, it just wasn't kind of where he had been at in, you know, the start of 2022, and even, you know, going back to obviously 2021, he was so good at Memorial when he had the COVID thing in the US Open when he won. And so I don't know. He's always on the brink of a three win year. And that's what it always feels like. It feels like that again. I think I said he'd have five wins this year. I don't think we're gonna make it. But not a lot for me has changed about how I think about Jon Rahm from the beginning of this year to the end.
We got to call it out when we get a really good one, Mark. I love Congaree, and give me the firm, give me the fast. These guys are begging for balls to go. No, I mean, stop. I mean, I don't, you know, they don't even know what they're asking for when the ball's in the air half the time.
Yeah, it harkens to me back, and I'm going to show my age here, but Ben Hogan one time was hitting golf balls and someone was watching him play, and apparently all the balls are landing right next to the kid who's shagging balls for him over there. And the one, he hits it real close to the kid, and the guy goes, what a great shot. And apparently Hogan whips around and he looks at the guy and he goes, how do you know that was a great shot? And the guy, well, it landed close to the target. And he goes, it didn't go through the window I was envisioning. So he was talking about trajectory, right? And when you get to situations like this, you got to move the ball through the air, because it's not just spin, because some of those conditions are just so firm that you can't spin the ball to a stop, whereas on soft golf courses you hit the ball one way And everyone, whoever hits it the highest and the farthest on the week is and makes a few putts is going to win. Where, yeah, there were multiple ways to get around there. Kitayama hits the ball really high. KH Lee hits the ball quite low. Rory hits it high when he needs to. Rahm hits it real high. So you saw all of these guys, Brendan Todd, hits the ball sort of low. But it essentially examined the field and said, who's going to hit the correct shot at the correct time? Who's not going to hit the good shot, but who's going to hit the correct shot and do that the most often? And then to your point, it's always interesting because the ball's supposed to roll. And when it gets to moving on the ground and all of a sudden it rolls and it catches a slope and it's off the edge of the green, and you saw that on like number 10, the par 3. I see a ball land on the green. Next thing, they're chipping from 30, 40 yards away. Some folks will say that's unfair. I'm like, you know, middle of the green has never hurt anybody. And when you start to remember that, everyone listening to this will likely start to lower their score. So, yeah, this Congaree place, when I first saw it, is awesome. And I have to expect that the more the players talk about it in the locker room, and now the Rorys and the Rahms and stuff have been there, I would not be surprised if this one finds itself a fixture on the PGA Tour.
Mark, you think all the people have to do is hear you say that and everybody's going to start aiming at the middle of the green? Because I've been telling myself to aim at the middle of the green for about 6 years.
Greg, I've been a voice in the wilderness since like the dot screaming about this stuff.
I need to hear it pretty much every day. So I would appreciate you continuing to say it, Mark.
Cool. Well, I'd have to put it on loop and in an earpiece on every shot, right? Just like as I stand over the ball, like Mark saying, just go to the middle of the green.
Yeah, because I've got like, you know, 190 and a back right pin. I'm like, oh, yeah, I think I can like carve one in here. And that's not it's absurd. Like, it's not reality. And
go zone.
Yeah. I can just hit a high cut here, you know, back, get the pin like three paces off the back right.
Don't say Mark said, just say Trevor's brother said, or the president.
that's too many syllables. I'll stick with Mark said.
My favorite part, Greg, is the extra 2 feet of run out that every single putt gets. So when these guys who always run it 2 feet by get that extra 2 feet, now no comebacker is easy. None of them are tap-ins, and they got to give the full-on attention to every single one.
Yeah, it's a funny thing because there's that extra bit of trick in the greens, it makes it really difficult to putt aggressively. So it affects the first putt a lot. But on the second putt, in one essence, you don't have to make as big a stroke to make a 4-footer. So it's should be easier to make 4-footers. But then on the other side of things, there's a little more break in them, and all of a sudden you got to start playing these 4-footers outside the hole, and pace matters. Where normally if you're inside 5 feet, line is more, it's a rare occurrence where line is less important than speed. But when you get on these really fast greens, that changes a little bit.
And on the other end of every one of those 4-footers is a potential 4-footer coming back at you if you're not
or more.
Yeah. They keep adding up in that way. All right, KP, Mark kind of brings up something interesting. Like, what's next for Congaree, right? It hosts this one-off Palmetto Championship. It hosts the CJ Cup, but the CJ Cup has now gone through 5 different golf courses in 5 different years. Like, do we see this again anytime soon?
It does seem like they're remember how Workday was like the default sponsor when they needed one?
Right. I was just going to say, it feels like a Workday event.
When you need a course, call Congaree.
He has the default golf course for the PGA Tour. I don't know. I mean, I'm already in the camp that there's too much going on. Like I don't, and I think that what we're seeing develop with the elevated, you know, events and that whole schedule would indicate that the tour, or at least the top players on the tour agree from a business standpoint that there's too much going on. So I just don't know, you know, do we know what next fall is going to look like? I mean, we don't know anything, right, beyond the Tour Championship next year. I'm with you. I like it because it's different. It doesn't look like, you know, especially in the summer, you go to the Rocket Mortgage, you go to all these places, and it's like, I don't know, man, like this looks like the same course, you know, and Congaree doesn't. And I know some people have criticism about it, but as a not as a as somebody who's not like steeped in architecture, I just like that it provides even like what was the drivable par four?
15.
Like you can hit a bunch of different shots there, and like Rom missed left, but he could get up and down, and Rory missed short, and he had to hit that crazy bunker shot. And I don't know, just stuff like that is really interesting, and I enjoyed it. And I hope that they, I don't need 48 week or I don't need 48 events on the PGA Tour, but I would like for one of them to be replaced by Concrete, because I like to watch that golf course.
I hear you, Kyle, and the schedule, it's a lot of golf, and a number of the big players are talking about it. But last year when we were at Congaree, I remember Dustin Johnson getting the freedom of the state or whatever, and the governor of South Carolina was there. And they had come off a run where we had the PGA Championship there, and then we had, of course, RBC Heritage, and then the Palmetto Championship. And they are loving golf in their state. And when you got the governor showing up at PGA Tour events, and the commissioner is there too, they are lobbying hard. And I don't know for certain, but I heard a lot of conversation over dinner one night that they really badly won a President's Cup as well. So it remains to be seen. This is not breaking news, but I have heard conversation to the effect.
Mark Immelman, breaking news that President's Cup will be headed to Congaree. That would be cool. That would be cool. Okay. Any final thoughts, gents? We've got to recap our bets and then we'll get out of here. But anything else on CJ Cup, Congaree, or anything in between? Okay. Fair enough. Here we go. We are going to go over our best bets for the week. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there. And I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. And we're back. Okay, Troy, do we have that first graphic? Okay. Oh, boy. This is still me being the only one in the black. Although, Kyle, I think you had a winning week. Maybe not. It was close.
I did.
You did. Yeah, you did. Yes. Okay, yes. So you had Russell Henley over Mito. That did not cash. But where you got picked up big time was Tom Hoagie top 20, which was your finishing position and I'll spoil the next part, your money ball. So you doubled down on that and got it right.
Yeah. Hoagie was, you know, he he was solid throughout the week. I'm gonna keep riding Tom Hoge. He's playing really, really solid golf. He is like low key kind of a like in the mix for the Ryder Cup next year. He was just outside the President's Cup this year for the American team. Obviously playing the best golf of his career. And he still plays great in big time fields like this week was. So I think he finished two shots inside the top 20 and cash that one. This, I feel like this graphic is a little misleading. Like the outrights are almost never going to hit, right? So it's really, you're looking at the first two columns for ones that should be, you know, hitting every week.
Kyle, I want to say this. I make lists. I'm that sort of a guy. And I've got a list, most underrated flushers on the PGA Tour, underrated ball strikers. And Tom Hoge is up there on my list inside of the top few. Yes, he can go. When he's hitting balls, I stop and watch. He's that good.
Yeah. Who else is on that list, Mark? Underrated flushers of the PGA Tour.
Off the top of my head, well, Matt Jones was on there, but he's no longer a PGA Tour guy, so I had to take him off.
He's on a different list now.
Yeah, he's on a different list entirely. but no, it's like when I call golfers and stuff, and they do stuff that I'm not really expecting, because you can sort of plot golf courses for guys, and you see everyone sort of hit the same shot to the same place, but then certain guys just do it differently, and Hoge is one of those.
Scotty Scheffler and Sung J.M. were your outrights, KP. Any what level of concern is Scotty Scheffler at this point?
Zero. I don't know. I think one thing we underrate is like it's been and Trevor was talking about this with Tom Kim, and he was like, man, he's just like worn out. And you're like, whoa, Tom Kim's like 20. And it's like, well, it's not physically, it's mentally and emotionally. You're just cooked, right? And I think we underrate the emotional and mental toll that a year like Tom Kim's or like Scottie Scheffler's takes. I think Scottie Scheffler needs to like not play golf until the last week in December. And I don't have any concern about where he's at going into 2023.
All right, Greg, you can provide the analysis here for Patrick's picks. Patrick has a problem. He keeps picking a matchup against Tom Kim, and it is not working. We tried to warn him on Tuesday. This time it was Cam Young over Tom Kim, and Tom Kim said, hey, no thanks. I'll just go out and finish T11 again.
Maybe he's watching, and, you know, like we were talking about with Rory, is this extra motivation? Patrick keeps picking against me in my in his matchups. Has he gone in too far? How is he going to get out of that? Is he going to have to just kind of bend the knee to Tom Kim and say, I'm not going to bet against him in a matchup again? Or is he just going to ride it out?
Yeah, he has to beg for forgiveness and never do it again. It's the only way. Keith Mitchell,
time to bend the knee.
Keith Mitchell, top 20. Nope. Victor Hovland and Jordan Spieth outrights. I had Jordan Spieth as one of my outrights, Greg. He did the Spiethy stuff on Thursday, which is he made a bunch of birdies, made a quad, and then I don't think I saw a shot from him the last 3 days.
Yeah. The Spieth one was tough. That was it was a really tough performance out of him. Hovland, I had a lot of concerns about heading into the week. We talked about it on Monday. Sia brought up you know, the short game concerns. And this golf course to me is exactly what Victor Hovland would fear in a way. Not that he can't handle it, but it just, that one would have worried me. I'm okay with the Keith Mitchell play. I really like Keith Mitchell. Always watching him. Is this, you know, could the driver alone carry a player? We saw driving be really important with Rory and Rahm and some of the other guys, even Kitayama, even some of those other guys up near the top of the leaderboard where they had really good driving weeks and end up near the top. And so I can see that's the one play from Patrick, even hit, that I could kind of understand and get behind. And I guess Spieth being a second outright, I can get behind that too.
My second outright was Tyrrell Hatton. So I had Spieth and Hatton. I had Emiliano Grillo to finish inside the top 20. Did he lose strokes putting? Okay, he finally did. He lost 4 strokes putting for the first time in, what was it, Greg? 8 weeks, 9 weeks? Oh,
a long stretch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was really impressive. A lot of it wasn't on the PGA Tour, though, right?
It was all on the PGA Tour.
Okay, pretty good.
Right? Because he hasn't played anywhere else, right?
Oh, what, wait, I thought Reed
pretty good.
Yeah.
You were talking about Hatton.
Oh, I missed you. Jumped to Grillo. I'm thinking Hatton, who's I think also been putting pretty well. Anyway, my clearly a mistake.
That's
I'll
okay.
I'll take the L just like you did.
That's right. I'll take the W here. Matt Fitzpatrick over Scottie Scheffler is my matchup. So Troy, if we can flip back to the standings real quick, that's what they look like. I'm up 30% and we've got some work to do in the other areas, but we've got money balls, which look a lot better. We're going to hit those after a quick break.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Mark, we have yet to have you participate in one of these. We're going to have to get you on a Tuesday so that you can get your name on the board here.
No, I participated in one and I thought I had some really good picks and not one of them hit. So I was like, oh, for $100. And so I was like, if I'm not going to be on the Tuesday show, I'd love my name removed from this thing. But want a one and done recognition somewhere. Speaking of real fast, I got my list here. I did text it to you guys. I've taken Jones off, underrated flushes, Hoagie, Noren, Xander, Boo Weekly, Shane Lowry, Keegan Bradley, Max Homer, Lucas Glover, Tom Kim.
Really good.
Yeah.
Lowry, mega underrated.
Yeah.
Mega. So Glover, too.
He's not kidding. This is an actual note he shared with us. I'm assuming from your iPhone. What, do you keep this on your iPhone?
Yeah. No. So when I'm out there and I'm like, whoa, yeah. I'm making a note of these guys.
Yeah. And it says underrated flushers.
Boo Weekly is on there, huh?
Boo Weekly can freaking hit.
Oh, yeah. It just seems like, well, when's the last time you saw him play?
Recently. I can't really remember. All I hear is like, hey, Mr. Mark, there's Boo Weekly. I'm like, what are you doing here?
Just flushing it.
Yeah, just flushing.
I was not ready for that. Moneyball, KP, you, as mentioned, got there with Tom Hoagie, which now, yes, sir, gets you out in front. You're in the lead with the Moneyballs. 12% positive ROI. Congratulations.
Yeah, I struggling elsewhere, so this is good to see.
I need
some more Tom. I need Tom Hoagie to play every tournament the rest of this fall. Just keep rolling him out there for me. So yeah, you're fine too. You're not losing money.
Correct. I'm now even. So I had Adam Hadwin top Canadian. The only other Canadian in the field was Corey Connors. Corey Connors was, I believe, 6 shots better. So my money balls alone are now even. Patrick, I had to text Patrick about this. Patrick said, I'm just going to take Rory McIlroy to be the first round leader at 16-1. And he was one shot off the pace. And if you hit a 16-1 with your money ball, that gives you a lot of leeway for the next, you know, couple of months.
So this happened in our Slack last night. I want to read this. I have no consent to do so from Patrick, but that's okay. This is hazing. He's still a newbie at CBS. So he wrote the round three recap Saturday night. Rory, you know, one of our editors said everything was Rory, 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 Rory. And then you predict him to lose in the last sentence. And Patrick said, twice the price. I'm rocking with John Rahm. And then he said, it pays to read to the very end. This is what Patrick said. And then he said, actually, with the way my bets have gone, it may actually pay not to read.
Self-aware. Okay, I like that.
I tell you, like 3 weeks ago, Patrick had a lineup that was... And he hit everyone. He hit like across the board. I was like, this guy was on it this week. And then the next 3 weeks, I guess it pays not to.
He started picking on Tom Kim. Once he started picking on Tom Kim, his world crashed.
He's not a rookie corner. It's Tom Kim.
He's in a Tom Kim vortex. He's just getting just beaten up by Big Tom. It's tough to watch. And we keep trying to tell him, like, hey, don't. It's like, hey, Stephen Ames, don't say that to Tiger. Right. Like, don't say anything. Like, we keep telling him, and he's like, yeah. I'm good. I got this one. Yeah. And it's like, I don't think you do.
Are you sure? Are you sure you want to do this? It's like, yeah, I'm sure. Okay. You're a grown man. Make your own decisions. Gentlemen, we're headed to I already got some Bermuda facts. How about this? Do you know how many golf courses are on the island of Bermuda?
Five.
Mark thinks four. Greg thinks five. Kyle thinks two. The answer is eight, gentlemen.
All right. I guess I'm the winner.
Okay. And because it is only 20.5 square miles, it is one of the highest concentrations of golf courses in a country in the world. What do you think about that?
Pretty cool. A couple of them are really cool golf courses too. Port Royal's great where they're playing this week. So it's a cool island.
It certainly is. I was way back in the day when they used to have the PGA Grand Slam of golf where the four major champions would go play. So at the time I was teaching Trevor when he went as the Masters champion. Man, it was nice. And I think they were at the Mid-Ocean Club that year. But all hilly and sort of nooks and crannies around these golf courses right on the ocean. It's gorgeous over there. It really is.
Port Royal, which Greg mentioned, will play host to the Butterfield Bermuda Championship, and it's the longest course on the island, 6,800 yards. It's like the shortest course on the PGA Tour, which is why, Kyle, Brian Gay has had nothing but a feast every time he goes there.
Yeah, he hits driver while everybody else has to hit four iron so it doesn't run out into the sea.
Into the triangle.
I'm just here for the win. I need them to dial it up to like 40 miles an hour. That's what I want to see. And it's early finishes. It's great. I Bermuda week is good because it's early finishes. Get to enjoy the football. It's fantastic.
Anything else? Going once, going twice. All right, that'll do it. DFS preview on Monday for Bermuda. Tuesday mega preview pod, obviously your Sunday recap. Big thanks to producer Troy, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Mark Immelman, available on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. Greg Ducharme can be found at The Real GFD. Kyle Porter right there at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob? Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.